Yeah, like, well, no, I only pay 10.
Thank you.
that's why.
Oh my god, that's terrifying.
Damn. I don't even know what I'm looking at.
Oh, All right, folks, welcome to this panel here. Now, there will be an opportunity for some questions and discussion later on. Of course, the majority of this is specific to basically the things and that have happened and the experiences that you had during this whole Gamergate thing. I want you to know that we all want to be supportive here. Brianna, she has obviously gone through a hell of a time. I told her she does not have to be an asshole. Pardon the language of the youngster there. I have no problem with that. Now, having said that, we will encourage discussion later on. And the thing is that as long as discussion is civil, it will continue. If you act like a jackass, you will be removed. That is a simple thing. A lot of people will then say, what about my freedom of speech? No, you have the right to say what you want. However, comma, there also have the right for repercussions. Those repercussions are you will be removed from this room. So, with that in mind, we want to have a good, positive experience here because a lot of folks may not know all the ins and outs of what happened. Also, some people may come in here with only one side of the story or the other side of the story. That's what we're going to try to do is bring not just a side of the story, but specifically the experiences that this young lady had. So please give it up for Brianna Wu.
So, are there guys in chessboard, or time I see that trailer, I'm like, I want to play that game. This looks awesome. So. As you can see, I'm kind of tall and skinny myself, but we're widening their waist, their necks, we're giving all the characters armor, and we kind of want to make the game reflect my views today versus what they were in 2010. You know, I've changed my opinions along with many people in this game. So, kind of talk about that trailer. I want to talk about what the mission is of Giant Space Pack. Our entire company, we want to meet the needs of what we call a neo-gamer. What do I mean by a neo-gamer? There's been an explosion in the number of women gamers in the last 6 years. We used to just be 17% of the gaming population. That was in 2008. By the way, the SNES era, I'm sorry, Nintendo era, in 1989 they did a study and women were only 3% of gamers. So, 1989, 3%, 2008, 17%. Today, women are between 49 and 52% of gamers, depending on who you ask. So, I can tell you, being a professional in this field, there's going to be a bigger and bigger disconnect between who's making your games and who's actually playing your games. So, Brianna, I may be a feminist, but I'm also a cold-hearted Catholic. I'm looking out there at the market, and I see nobody out there making the kind of games I want to play. They're heavy on narrative. So at Giant Space Cow, what we want to do is make games where women are the heroes. We want to make really narrative-based games that anyone can play. I don't think you should have to figure out a controller with 15 buttons and dual joysticks just to enjoy a story. So basically, that's what we're doing at Giant Space Cow. We're trying to make new games for a new audience. This is what we call the Blue Ocean Strategy. This is a management philosophy that was really popular with the Nintendo Wii. So the idea is there are red oceans and there are blue oceans. Red oceans are kind of fished out waters. So if you're a game developer and you want to make a first-person shooter or a third-person over-the-shoulder thing like Assassin's Creed, that is an established market out there. You know you're going to have people buying your games. A blue ocean is basically an unexplored market. And we're out there, we ask ourselves, we see Oculus. What's the killer app for Oculus? Well, it's narrative. It's feel like you're in the holodeck, right? Experiencing a story. So we want to develop new things for that audience. And that's where we're going. Just to sum up what we do at our company. Revolution 60 did very, very well. We were released last year for iOS. I think we got, how many, was it 3 Game of the Year awards? We did very well. One of our favorite ones was from iMore. Go to the next slide. The reviews were awesome. Revolution 60 is one of the most ambitious iOS games you'll play this year. Kotaku, very good gaming site, and I can't get enough of this sexy sci-fi thriller. My favorite one, we're about to get into this quote, is the next evolution of mobile game. And this really meant a lot to me as a huge Final Fantasy fan. And, my first aha moment in gaming was when I played Final Fantasy VIII. I got so wrapped up in the experience, I couldn't wait to see what was next. And that's exactly what Revolution 60 is. This is one of our best reviews. And is it game developer truly means something when someone understands what you're trying to do. So, for me, that really meant a lot to me. So, what happens when you're kind of a feminist game developer running a studio mostly women, and you ship a game like this that kind of breaks a bunch of rules? Well, from the very start, we started getting rape threats, sexual harassment. It's a real myth in my career that nothing started happening to me until Gamer came. I had people screaming at me like, fuck you, you feminist bitch, as early as, God, it was 2013, I started getting rape threats in 2013. And the truth is, if you're a woman in this field, you have a target on your back. Is this one more?
Testing, 1, 2, 3.
That's great, I don't have to shout the whole time, it's gonna be good. So, basically, we at Giant Spacecraft don't want to censor other beings. Like, as a, as a critic in this field, I might have a bit of critique for something like Dead or Alive, which is a very, very sexualized fighting game, but, generally speaking, we just want to go over here and make our own games. We don't want to censor anyone. From the beginning, we've gotten a lot of blowback about that in this field. It's just looking at the overall market, video games are changing right now. And this is a good thing. How many people out here have a PS4 or an Xbox One? Raise your hand. Okay, so, can I ask you a question? Like, do you really feel like this generation is innovative?
No.
Right. Well, really, right? I think when I look out at this generation, I see games that are kind of recycling these same kind of ideas that we've been playing forever. Like Forza 2 is a great game, it doesn't really advance much on it. I think the last Call of Duty really didn't advance, like dodging a little faster to left or right, that's not innovation. So what I think is happening in games is we have this monoculture. And there's nothing wrong, I love the people that work in this field, I support them. But generally speaking, they all come from a very similar background with very similar views and very similar tastes. And there's nothing wrong with being in that background, but when you're only hearing from one kind of person, it limits the amount of games that you get out of it. So what we've seen on the indie scene that's been so awesome is the barrier to making games has never been lower. So, these are just some of my favorite games that came out last year. Boston developer Zoe Quinn consulted on this. This is a wonderful game. If you have an iOS device, you should go get it now. It's a very narrative game, kind of like drawing in characters to different frames. It's super innovative. This one down at the bottom, this is Pounding Kingdom by Jenna Hofstein. Jenna is a wonderful game developer. She asks herself, like, why do all educational games for kids suck? And she went out there and really dedicated herself to figuring this out. And, all these people are bringing new kinds of innovation to the game industry. And isn't that what this is all about? Like, we all have our own ideas, and we all put them out there, and we all see what the marketplace likes. And, this is all a good thing, these changes that are happening in gaming. So, before we kind of get into Gamergate, I want to be really clear with you guys. I would rather talk about anything else with this. A big difference between someone like me and, say, Anita Sarkeesian or Catherine Cross is, I don't want to be a feminist critic. I want to make games for it. Like, that's my dream, is running my own studio and hiring my own people and making games I believe in. So, when I'm up here talking about Gamergate, I want you to know this is not what I want to be doing. The reason I choose to speak out on this, I'm going to be telling you some stories about what's happened to me and my friends, and I literally don't have a choice. We have really hit a point in game development where it's like all these forces of sexism have kind of been brewing under the surface of our industry for a long time. We get to the point where the entire kitchen is on fire. If we don't talk about this, if we don't look in the mirror, we're not just going to lose an entire generation of women to gaming that aren't going to work here. It's really going to be terrible. We're going to lose innovation, and it's just going to set video games back for a long time. So, let's get back into it. I think it's a really big misconception that Gamergate started last year. As someone that's pretty familiar with this, being targeted, I attribute Gamergate starting with Anita Sarkeesian launching Feminist Frequency, which is she launched a Kickstarter to launch a feminist critique of games. And from the beginning, she got some of the most vile, horrible sexism from the word go. So this is just a woman launches a Kickstarter to critique video games. That's it, just like all kinds of other people. So what is the response? You have a certain group of gamers that are out there, and they make video games of like getting in his face and punching him, brutalizing him. You see the blood coming down her face. You have people that threaten to murder her, that threaten to rape her. This was in 2012. And I have to tell you, as someone on the outside of the industry, it was scary as hell. I cannot even begin to tell you how scary this was to see this one woman that just wanted to make video games looking at video games. And asking yourself, like, what does this look like from a feminist perspective? Any reasonable person can look at video games and tell we have a really big problem with representing women. And for that, like, she started getting rape threats and death threats. Absolutely unconscionable. So, before kind of the kitchen caught on fire with Gamergate, I want to tell you guys a personal story. And this is going to kind of lead into why I personally got involved in this. So, this is a writer in the field. I'm not going to mention her name because every time I do, she gets a new slate of, frankly, harassment. But this is someone in the field that I very deeply respect. So, I want for all of you guys out there right now, the half-queers. I want for you to imagine if there's maybe 5, 6, 7, maybe 10 people that you feel really feel close to in your field. And I can tell you, being a woman in game development is very much like that. It's a very, very lonely experience. And you know, women in this field, I can tell you really honestly, I love the women that I work with. I feel very close to them. Emotional. And you know, this was a woman that worked in our field as a journalist. And I have like 10 out of 10 respect for her. She's a wonderful, wonderful writer. So what happened is, in our field, we are very famous for not hiring many women. Let me give you an example. Game Informer is one of the most important institutions in all the video games. So if you go over to Game Informer and you ask yourself, who is deciding what is worth covering at Game Informer, who's writing your content, 17 out of 18 of those people are men. And you know, this really has consequences. It has consequences for what they think is important in their views. And again, you know, 50% of gamers are women these days. So it's a bigger and bigger disconnect. And sadly, I'd love to tell you that Game Informer is the aberration. It is the rule in our industry. You know, IGN's numbers are not much better. And Giant Bomb, sadly, is breaking through the scale.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
While they're working on, honestly, give Adam a break. This is not easy for him. He is making sure he's supporting his ladies. He's talking about this serious thing, and of course the most embarrassing thing would be during a serious moment for technical problems, but he's doing a damn fine job.
Story of Frank, my first met him. I fixed his computer as I've been fixing him ever since.
Yeah. So I actually ran the slideshow at my first presentation.
Well, let's get back to it. This is serious, sir, not to make light of it. So what happened is there's an institution in my field called Giant Bomb. I love Giant Bomb. I've actually had a paid membership to Giant Bomb for a long time. But something really bothers me about Giant Bomb is if you want pro game journalism, they're kind of the poster child for kind of this very one specific viewpoint that rules our industry. You know, and sadly, Giant Bomb does not hire any women. You want to hear from women, none of them work at Giant Bomb. No black people work at Giant Bomb. No gay people work at Giant Bomb. So, you know, as much as I like these people professionally, you know, they kind of have one specific commitment. And, you know, when they've been called on in the past, they're just like, hey, you know, we're just hiring you're comfortable with.
new footprint to big coordinates. So last year, basically what happened is there's another slate of openings. And Giant Bomb again chose to hire two straight white cisgendered men. And this person wrote a tweet critiquing this choice, which is eminently fair, you know, the field that kind of discriminates a lot against women. So what happened to my friend? Well, it was a horror show. They threatened to rape her. They threatened to kill her. They ran what I call playbook on her. And the playbook is, you find the person the goal to dehumanize them. So them becoming a target of harassment becomes justified. So they go into her past, and they find something to dig up and use against her, and they start attacking her with it. And you just watch her Twitter during this time period. Attack, 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 threaten, 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 bully, 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 bully. And this person just hits the point where it's like, I'm out. I just can't take this. This is not worth it in this field. Like, she's literally writing a tweet critiquing a hiring decision that any reasonable person can see as suspect. And they threaten her until she leaves. And I can tell you on a personal note, feeling someone that I cared about bullied out of my field, it really hurt me. So what I need for you to understand is leading up to this incident, game development field had just been one sexist incident after another. It was brutal in this time period. So we go and ship Revolution 60. I'm on vacation last year, Frank, after shipping Rev 60, after years of work. And what happens? I wake up one morning, we're over at Universal Studio, and I see the internet is on fire, talking about Zoe Quinn, who's another Boston game developer. And what happened to Zoe was absolutely important. She had a former lover go through and take intimate details of her private life. Now, I'm not going to deem this line this person, ran up on her. I'm not even going to give it names here. But this person went out with an effort to professionally discredit her and destroy Zoe Quinn, who was a well-known game developer. And what happened to that? I would call this the most sexist incident in the entire history of video games. So the entire internet is just catching on fire. I want for you to imagine right now, if you had a former lover, partner, whatever, go through your life and release all of that out to the public if you're a celebrity. Now, I want for you to imagine if you're a woman in a very sexist field. And what she had happen was all kinds of people going through her private life, making sex jokes about her, degrading her. I was actually at PAX Prime after this happened, and you had people. This is where the hashtag gamer games were. And they were actually planning on doing t-shirts with the slogan, five guys for a busy prize. With the allegation being Zoe had sex with five men, which is honestly her business. And then you even have people like Adam Baldwin, like going through, this is the guy from Firefly. You're going through and tweeting these videos that are just completely going through Zoe's sex life, basically slamming her. It's really hard to get across in words just how horrific this is. They run the playbook on her. The entire industry is on fire. So they go after her professionally, they slime her, they degrade her to the point where all of her harassment is justified. And you've got to understand, at this point, it felt like war. Immediately after the aftermath of Zoe, and the birth of the Gamergate hashtag, what you have is this extremist movement that now had a tactic. And the idea was they could go after the woman and run the playbook on. And they did. They went after Jen Frank. Jen Frank is another one of these very few women in their industry. I feel so close to her. What did they do? They take her, they find something in her life to discredit her by, and run the playbook, just like harass. Harassment, this video of her Twitter just shooting down like this with harassment against her. Jen Frank, a wonderful, wonderful writer, just says, F it, I'm out. There are easier ways to make a living. We lose another voice. And by the way, there aren't that many women working here. you know, Leah Alexander, they went after her hardcore. She didn't quit, but, you know, they gave her everything that she got. You know, they went after the actual sponsors on her site in an effort to get her fired. My friend Catherine Cross, I adore Catherine. Catherine's one of the bravest women I've ever known, one of the smartest women. And they run the same playbook. Like, the stuff they've written about her to just blind her is terrible. Same thing with Natty Brights. It's just absolutely important. So it's like one by one where you're losing one in our field. I want to share with you, I'm not going to give the name, this is what people were saying in this era. And I think this is about September of last year. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we are not winning, and if we do win, it will be a pyrrhic victory. Gamergate is winning. And they're absolutely right. In this time period last year, you know, there's still this conception that Gamergate is about ethics and gamer journalism. And the truth is, like, our industry has so few women working in it as journalists that it's just men talking about it. And all along the time, as my friends are being bullied out of it one by one, IGN, completely silent. Nothing said about it. Polygon, completely silent. You know, mostly men working there, or at least at IGN. Polygon isn't that bad, actually. IGN, mostly men, don't say a word. Giant Bomb, don't say a word. Game Informer, don't say a word. It's when you're being bullied out right and left. And this is one of the consequences of having the journalists in the field of such a specific background. And our issues are just simply not covered and not deemed important. So, this was the time period when they went after me. And I want to tell you guys my story. So, I have a show called Isometric. It's on 5x5. And, well, actually, it's on Relay FM nowadays, but it's a popular video game podcast. So, I've been a reasonably loud critic of Gamergate from the start. I mean, again, they're going after my friends. So, a listener of my show took some of my tweets and sent them to me. And I thought it was hilarious. So I took them and just tweeted them out to my account. So what this person did was they basically got a meme. So I'm going to read one of them. Fighting an apocalyptic future where women are 8% of programmers and not 3. So the idea is basically picking on this outraged gamer game. And as crazy as it is, this one tweet kind of altered the trajectory of my entire life. So what happened from here? So the attacks that have happened to me and the other women in this field come from two sites primarily. They're ancient, and it's a Reddit forum called Kotaku in Action, creepily called KIA, I might say. So ancient is a site that's been around for a while, but basically, it really grew when 4chan finally got to the point where they saw the hate speech that Gamergate was doing. And even 4chan said, wow, this Gamergate stuff is too extreme for us. They got kicked out of 4chan, guys! 4chan! The only other thing you get kicked out of 4chan for is posting child pornography and Gamergate. That's it. So, like, this is how extreme their movement got. So what happened is, I post this tweet and I don't think anything about it. And later that day, someone tweets me and says, like, Bree, you need to start worrying. HN is out here. And I start going on HN and I go to this meme. And I see that HN is doing what they call shit posting, where they've basically gone through and made tons and tons and tons and tons of variations on this in an effort to intimidate. So, you know, they do intimidations on it, variations on it, rather threatening me with rape. They do variations on it, threatening to kill me. They do variations on this, threatening my husband. And, you know, they're starting to run the playbook. So this is the moment that I kind of, This is the moment that I literally shut my computer down, and I went and recorded Isometric that night. If you listen to me talking about it, you can hear my voice trembling with fear. Because I knew what I was about to get into. you know, and I tweeted out, like, guys, you're scaring the hell out of me. They're threatening to rape me, they're threatening to murder me. And I knew if I kept in the fight, they would do to me what they did to Zoe, what they did to Capitol Cross, what they did to Jen Crane, what they did to all these other women in the field. I knew I'd be targeted in that same way, and they'd run the playbook. So it's like there's a real choice you have when Gamergate goes after you. And what a lot of women choose to do is just to be silent. It's a smart way to survive it. You know, you basically let them scream at you for a day, and then they go find a new target, eventually. I knew that this was the moment that I had to show my character. And I want you guys to know, they've gone after... It hurt me so deeply seeing them go after my friends with my wife. And I knew that I could not live with myself if I didn't stand up to it. It was the moment that you show your character. So I came back, you know, I did excuse the language, but I came back and I knew what I was getting into. And I told them, I said, fuck you, I am not going anywhere. Come after me. And they did. So immediately after I said that, I was on 8chan watching them talk about me, starting to run the playbook, starting to talk to my husband. I started to find things in my past to dig up and distort and attack me with. And they posted my address on Agent. And moments later, I get this tweet sent to me. I'm going to read this out. Guess what, bitch? I now know where you live. You and Frank live at, and they posted my address. I've got a K-bar. I'm coming to your house so I can shove it up your ugly feminist cunt. I'm going to rape your filthy ass until you bleed, then choke you to death with your husband's tiny Asian penis. How's that for terrifying, you stuck-up cunt? I'm sick of you fucking feminist asshats. Your mutilated corpse will be on the front page of Jezebel tomorrow. If there is injection, you can be about it. If you have any kids, you're going to die too. I don't give a fuck. And I wanted people to know what Gamergate did. I wanted people to know what their playbook was, so I tweeted this out. I was lucky enough that Will Wheaton saw this and retweeted it, and the next thing I know, it gone mega viral. So, my husband and I left our house from this death threat and some others that started reporting. And because it had gone so mega viral, the media started calling. I want to really share with you guys honestly why I chose to speak out to me and start calling. You know, again, like I said, women in this field have been taken outright and left. And no one had done anything. No one, the only people that were talking about were Kentucky. And calling them was reporting on it, they weren't really giving an opinion. We, all of the gamer journalism, we really only had Kentucky and were being journalists. I knew that IGN wasn't going to get it done. I knew the Giant Bomb wasn't going to get it done. So I said to myself, I got to talk to people that can get this done. So when MSNBC started calling, CNBC,